Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important. The champ is here.
We
touched down
from a higher plane. Why you made it here? We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We got you. That's the man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and show, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash here with legendary Chiefs tight end Jason Dunn. JD, how are you doing, brother?
What's going down? What's going down, man? Look, it's March Madness. We were just kind of talking about that a little bit. So it's been it's one of those things that's part of the year that you better get on your tube and start figuring out who's going to win. If you ain't filled out your bracket now, it's going to be too late. Everything starts off really tomorrow. So I know they have like the consolation game, who's going to get in, you know, kind of those games finishing up. But right now, I'm sure a lot of people maybe from the Kansas City area, the Kansas area, whatnot, are picking Kansas to win it all, you know. And, you know, I see, you know, some of our fans, obviously, who are Kansas fans, believe that's going to happen. So we'll have to see. We'll see what everything's going to go, man. But other than that, man, everything's been good. Talk about some of this football stuff that's been going on in our world the past few days. There's a lot of talk, a lot of conversations. But other than that, how you been doing? What's going on with you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm excited. Yeah, this is a great time of the year. You got baseball beginning. Today, the Dodgers and Padres, the Seoul series, they started off in Korea. The first pitch of the opening day was in Korea today. So you got that going. You got NFL free agency going. You got pro days going on. And then you got March Madness. I mean, it's amazing. And then also in the NBA, you know, last like 15 games left. So there's a lot of teams fighting to get out of that play-in series. So they're trying to get into the top six. So much going on. It's for football season not to be like playing or Chiefs not to be playing. It's a great time of the year. And yeah, get your brackets in by noon tomorrow. That's the first tip of March Madness, the first round.
Yes, sir. So,
and for all the there's a lot of the Kansas fans in here. Everyone's saying that. I don't know. I know that one of their main guys is out, and they're saying Samford is one of the upsets for this weekend of the first round to beat Kansas, which would be kind of crazy. The 13th seed to beat Kansas.
It happens every year, though. It happens every year, you know. And the thing is, you got to watch for these sneaky teams. Okay, you can't sleep on anybody, especially in the tournament, because it's one and done. You're out of here. Ain't no coming back. Ain't no. Hey, look, let's do a do-over. Let's see what – now, this is it. This is it. It's everything you worked on, what you work for, starts now. How's everybody doing in the chat? We're looking at some of the comments. I see everybody that came in already. What's up to everybody that's in here? Good evening, everyone, to Andrea and John, Lynn, Donna. I'm the Brown. Let me see who else is here. Lewis, you know, Essence Montgomery. We got a few people in this joint right now. What's up? So
yeah, we got some of the familiar face, the usual suspects on the chat tonight. Yeah, oh, Taryn, there you go, Taryn. We haven't seen Taryn in a minute. Taryn,
what's going down? So should be interesting today. Tonight should be a very good episode, talking on some Chief football about what's been going on in the kingdom. I can't wait, Marcus. To be honest with you, I can't wait. So I'm gonna let my lips a little loose tonight. Talk about a few things. So. We'll see what's going on.
Let's do it. Yeah, and I kind of, like you mentioned, there's a lot of stuff going on in Chiefs Kingdom, but rumors this week, outside of like the OBJ, you know, putting a fire emoji on Mahomes' picture, there's really not much rumors going on. I see Chris Palme right there. You wrote it last night.
I did. I just did a show with him, man. If y'all didn't get to check that out, man, we did an amazing job. Chris did an amazing job. He's a guy out of Canada that does some stuff and going around. So, Chris, man, what's up, brother? Glad you're in here in the chat with us. Hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah. And on the OBJ thing, it's perfect timing. Flapjack City, we didn't even coordinate that. That was just perfect timing. So OBJ, the only rumor before we get into the show stuff, the only rumor that's out there is the OBJ possibly coming to Kansas City. There's been a linkage over the last few years of that happening. And obviously you and I have talked about bringing him in on a 1 year, $3 million deal, something small, maybe an incentive laden kind of deal. But Flapjack City has a question here. Let's go. How important is veteran wide receiver leadership in the wide receiver room? I feel like we need OBJ to show these new bloods how to be dogs on the field. JD, what's your take on that whole thing?
So veteran wide receiver leadership is extremely important, especially with young guys in the room. And we have a bevy of young guys just littered in the entire room of wide receivers. We got a young coach who does a good job, has a little bit of some background, family background and history here in the NFL, you know, with his dad, you know, Kansas City with Andy Reid. So I know he's going to be bringing his stuff that's going to be good for him. But a veteran presence, a guy that can kind of speak that language, who's playing with them, talk about route running, doing all the things they're doing, is vital, especially for young guys. Not to mention, not on the field, but also off the field too. How you carry yourself in the media, all those things do matter. And so when you have somebody who has that type of knowledge, the awareness, the intellect, the patience, you can't really put a value on it. You try to, but when you got a guy that could come in and like settle guys down, put them where they need to be, that's important. That's important. And so we don't know if OBJ is going to be that guy. We have no idea. Like Marcus was saying, we don't know what he wants. We don't know what the price point is. You know, everybody wants to come here and play with Patrick Mahomes. Everybody does. The question is, what is it going to cost to do that, right? So we know Veach is somebody who is very frugal. He wants to make sure he gets good deals. He wants to make sure that when you come here, you're going to be bought in. You're going to be bought into the entire system. And so not saying that OBJ is not that guy, but this is something that we'll just have to see.
Yep.
The veteran presence is absolutely important. It's vital.
Yeah, it's huge. And I will say there are two things with that. Hollywood Brown, he's a young guy, like 26, 20, going on 27. Still a young guy, but he has been in the league for some time now. This will be his fifth year in the league. So, like, he's been around the block a little bit. He's been, I'm not saying he's not a 31-year-old, 32-year-old guy. No, he's not like an OBJ type as far as that kind of being a veteran. But he's been around. It's not like he's like a second-year guy like Sky Moore or some of the other guys we already have in the wide receiver room, right? So he does bring a little bit more to the table. But, yes, OBJ would be someone. And obviously the price has got to be right.
Look, the 5 years, he's in the NFL is a long time in a way. Especially where he's been, you know, he's been in Baltimore, had to deal with some business things, decisions out there with them and upper management. Goes to Arizona, you know, under a lot of quarterbacks, new offensive coordinators. He's had a few of those. And so different settings kind of give you different perspectives, right? And we can put it all together. One of the things that I know you said this in one of the tweets about what impressed you was some of his route running and whatnot and how he was, I don't know what it was, all, some of the adversity he went through. Like sleeping on couches and some of the games, had to walk up the field. And which is not necessarily just particular to him, because a lot of people have stories like that of adversity. To me, what showed me the maturation process was his response to it. To me, that was like, oh, okay. Now, this is what when I see somebody comment in a particular way, it shows me a level of humility, humbleness. Some modesty, and you only get those things through adversity, through when things don't go right, how you want things to go for you in your life or even in your career. And so I see that transition. Like I said, man, his response to it was incredible. You know, we're just talking about how God was working in his life. He sees, you know, the path that now how the door says open. You know, sometimes and the veil could be lifted off your eyes from where you were in college. You get to the NFL, or what you think the business really is. And so you realize it's not that it's not really a wonderful business. It can be. OK, you keep your nose and head to the grindstone and you go do what you need to do. But still, things may not always fall out the way that you want to. So things can derail your career, injuries or somewhere you may not be as you feel like it is welcoming. But when you live through it, when you start seeing it, when you are able to take the time to soak it in, then you have a whole different perspective on things. And I think that he's at that point right now. So that was what was more impressive to me, Marcus, other than some of the things he did physically on the field, because we all know if you come and play in the NFL, you should be physically gifted. Teams are taking you because you do have this physical attribute to you, right? To me, it's the mental attribute, the maturation process, to me, is the more important thing. So, yeah, no doubt about it. He is kind of that veteran guy. I will say that he'll give some of these young guys some good knowledge that they need, no doubt about it. So
for sure. Yeah, and that whole clip that was or that article that was from his pre-draft stuff going into 2019, and that was Lincoln Riley talking about why they wanted him at Oklahoma, and because he talked about, you know, living on a popped air mattress, you know, going to and from his job and stuff, and also he went through it as a high school kid and how he had so much on his plate. And like you said, JD, his story is not unique to just him, but this is also, and especially 2019, this is for a lot of guys who weren't privileged with the NIL stuff back in the day, you know? So like, you know, a lot of the guys that go through this stuff, but to see him do that and to see him come into the NFL and deal with adversity in a different light, right? Playing an offense that he was the number one guy there. He was the only receiver in the Lamar Jackson era who has 1,000 yards. So, I mean, he was a top guy, but he wasn't utilized in the same way that he was utilizing the Lincoln Riley's offense. He goes to Arizona. He plays like 8 different quarterbacks to Kyler Murray's injuries. He had to deal with
8 different quarterbacks.
it was Clayton Tune, Colt McCoy, Murray, Trey
Dobbs,
Josh Dobbs, Trace McSorley. So that's like 6 quarterbacks right there.
Hey God, you said 8. I thought you was, you know.
Exaggerated a little bit. Yeah, I think it's 7 at that point. But
yeah, 10 guys you throwing towards you. Nah, but yeah.
It's tough, man. Like, especially when he wanted to go to Arizona to play with his quarterback that he had in college. So it's like, that's tough. But yeah, so and the stuff he said, we'll get into more of Hollywood Brown later on the show. But his interview that he did this week really painted a picture of, you know, kind of what you mentioned here. He said when the Chiefs registered in 2019, that was during the whole Tyreek Hill drama, which we didn't know what was going on at the time. The team kind of suspended him for a little bit away from the team as they got more details from the police. Drafted Hardman in the second round that draft. There's rumors that we were going to go up to get Hollywood. Didn't happen, but he said we were at talks to him at that time. And then when this free agency happened, he said they were going hard at him. And he said when the Kansas City Chiefs call you, you listen. And I'm assuming that's going to happen with OBJ and other guys too.
Oh, that without a doubt is a call that you do take. Okay. That's not one that you say, hey, you know, I don't know. We'll see what's going on somewhere else. You need to listen. It's like the old E.F. Hutton. I don't know if you remember that. You might be too young for E.F. Hutton. E.F. Hutton was like one of those things you had to listen for. I forgot how the commercial go, but it's something about like you had to listen. That's E.F. Hutton. Yeah. So older people will know what I'm talking about in the chat. You know, the E.F. Hutton deal. So. Mm-hmm.
And I will say also, too, with the Hollywood Brown, we'll get into that. But as far as OBJ-wise, OBJ seeing what Hollywood Brown's contract was, that'll be a little indicator. Like, hey, man, like even this young guy who's got a lot more football left than you do, he took a deal that's about $6.5 million worth up to 11. If you come on the squad, you're probably going to take a little bit less than that. So, I mean, guy OBJ, if he wants to play with Kansas City, he's going to see that as an example of how much is being paid out from Kansas City. So I
think OBJ's in. He's in a position where he got some good money from Baltimore last year, and he still can go, and teams are going to cover him. I seen this now. Somebody said Miami has been talking to Odell Beckham Jr., and so they're a contender. We understand that teams that are in contention is somewhere he's saying, well, look, I can help you get over the hump. So if you go down there, right, and you already got Waddle, you got, you know, Tyreek, and now you got a Jody Fortson, you know what I'm saying, and you get Odell Beckham, yeah, how much better can you get? And so teams are trying to build around, because I said that we are the standard. Everybody's thinking about playing the Chiefs. When you play the Chiefs, this is what you have to do. Go get you some firepower, right? Get as much as you can. Get somebody who's going to be able to get out to Patrick Mahomes to stop what he can do. And so that's what teams have been doing. They've been building all these people up to talk about stopping the Kansas City Chiefs, because that's who they expect to be in the Super Bowl, right? Talking about the thing last night me and Chris was on, we were talking about how Philadelphia has been getting guys. Same thing. And I said, I don't see how Philly's not over the cap, man. They get somebody every week coming in and give them a huge million-dollar deal. And I'm just like, where is all the money coming from? You had to go look at the books, man. They might be cooking some things up there in Philadelphia.
I think what might have helped them this year was Cox and Kelsey retiring. So maybe that helped them.
It helped them. Yeah, definitely. It helped them. You know, but I was just talking about it's hard to replace a Jason Kelsey, but they could be going after somebody in the draft. You know, there's a couple of centers out there too, from what I hear.
Yeah.
Wendy, what's up, Wendy? Philly is spinning crazy. Yes, they are. That's what they've been doing. So
we'll see with this OBJ. I mean, that'd be amazing. If we were to get OBJ and Hollywood Brown this offseason and then draft a receiver, but then they cause the question is, wait, it's a way too crowded receiver room. Then I don't know what's going to happen with the guys who were on that in the receiver room that from this past season, the Justin Watsons of the world, the Kadarius Tonys, the Sky Moores. What's going to happen with those guys if you bring in four guys, whatever. I mean, I don't know. But that's a question for later on, and we'll talk more about that after the draft. So we're going to get to – I see some questions. We'll come back to the questions, guys. We're going to dive into some of the topics here. We'll come back to you guys for some questions. And, of course, feel free to throw in questions on the topics that we're talking about here. So one of the biggest a news piece that we're going to be talking about, tell us the thing is done. If it's not done, I just want some clarity on the situation. Are we going to keep them or not? This is L'Jarius Sneed we're talking about here. So lots of stuff has gone on with L'Jarius Sneed since we last met last week. So it was reported that the Chiefs and the Titans had a deal done, and the Titans were prepared to pay him a deal worth 4 years, $80 million. But Sneed rejected that and wants $22 million a year. He wants to be the highest paid cornerback in the league. He wants to reset the market. Carrington Harrison, in front of the show, reported that the Chiefs have not been offered a second-round pick for him, and that's talking the Colts and the Titans, both teams who are heavily interested in L'Jarius Sneed. Sneed wants to be the highest-paid DB. The Chiefs are fine with paying him, with him playing on the tag in Kansas City. But the one thing that's being noted by a lot of the teams out there are his medicals being concerning. And obviously, we're talking about his knee injury that he had all throughout the year last year, but it didn't hinder him, obviously, since he played so well. But, JD, what do you think of these reports about Sneed turning down big money from the Titans and that being the biggest holdup in all of this?
Well, for one, it tells me that if you're somewhere within 1 or 2 million away from the Chiefs, he likes staying at home. He likes being with the Chiefs. He doesn't see any reason to go somewhere else to go play for another $2 million somewhere else, right? For the 22 or 4 million, where he's like, look, if I've been out here balling, I've been playing, I hit the tag, you know, take less money this year, ball out again, and then hit free agency and hit somebody over the head, maybe, possibly, after that, after getting a three-peat, right? So he sees all the good things you can get with Kansas City, right? It's first off, it's home. You don't want Super Bowls here. You could actually get a three-peat while being a Kansas City Chief, get paid well, and then go on the free market next year and then kind of write your own ticket. That's the scenario, okay, as opposed to going somewhere, getting a long-term deal for the 22 to a team that's not going to sniff the Super Bowl. Okay. Titans in Indianapolis they're not going to get there. All right. They have a lot of talent, a lot of questions they have to deal with. And just got rid of Derrick Henry for one. In Indianapolis, you know, they got rid of the wide receiver. Can't think of his name, just escaped me just then. But they still had to build around a young quarterback, right? A young quarterback. So if I'm sitting over here, 13, 19 million, right? Yes, that's what he'd be getting in the tag. So instead of going through all those questions, dealing with, you know, the uncertainty of places you don't know, you don't even know if you're going to be happy, you know, because you got to live in Nashville, you got to live in Indianapolis. To you, Kansas City is home. All your boys are here. That means something. That type of peace of mind is hard to put a number on. It really is, especially when you could go out next year after getting the three-peat and say, hey, write your own ticket, right? So this is the thing that we look at for at least Jerry Sneed. That's the way I'm looking at it. The Chiefs are sitting over saying, look, we're just not going to let him go. We're not getting a second-round pick or maybe a first or maybe getting another compensation for this talented cornerback that we have here. Then we know we don't have to do the deal. We don't have to do it. We don't have to do it. We're just not going to let him go. And I haven't sent this video out, but I'm going to send it out what we did last week or the week maybe before we was talking about Jarius Sneed. And I think we kind of got into it a little bit. But there's no reason just to let this man go. For what? If we can keep our defense intact, 19 goes there. And I think we, in at least in our the way that we're looking at the books, I think we already got that 19 already factored in for Jarius Sneed, right? We got that factored in. So we'll go get what we need on offense, namely wide receivers, okay, things that we were a little deficient in. Go address our things that we need to do in the draft, okay? And then we'll just ball out, keep our defense the same. Why break up the band when you don't need to, right? I tell you, I've been watching. So I've been watching the Jackson 5, okay? Right? I've been watching the Jackson 5 last couple of days with my mother. We just kind of talking about the Jackson 5. So I didn't even know. At some point, okay, it's a quick little story that Jermaine Jackson decided to stay with Motown, okay, when they broke the contract with the Jackson 5, right? So I'm sitting there thinking, well, why break up the band? Jackson 5 was tearing everything up, all right? That's Jackie, Tito, Jermaine, Marlon, and Mike, all right? Them suckers was shutting it all down. They were shutting it all down. Jermaine decides to stay with his father-in-law, which was Berry Gordy, with Motown. Okay, quick little story. All right, I'm just kind of, but
Berry Gordy was the father was his father-in-law.
Yeah, his daughter. I didn't know that either. I didn't, I started doing some digging. I'm like, wow, because I started seeing in the videos Jermaine wasn't there anymore, and so they have a younger brother named Randy. So they just put Randy in. It was Jackson 5. Randy was a little bit too young. My point being is this. If you have such a good group of guys, okay, a good defense, you know, there's no reason to break it up. If you're number one or two in the league, top defense in the league, why break it up? Now, obviously, we'll get into a little bit more. There's some other ways you can get better, right? There's other ways you can improve, and you should. But one thing you don't want to do is regress or lose a guy that who was paramount in you winning your games. So that's what I think about this. That's where I'm at.
My thing with this whole situation, so obviously, and apparently we had the deal done with Tennessee from our end with them, that we were going to take a third round pick from them. That was it. The only holdup was Sneed not wanting to do that. So my question is, so he's 27 right now, so he goes to next year, and that's the question. Could he may not play on the tag? I mean, that could have. We saw that with the whole Chris Jones thing, at least week one. I mean, could that happen? People are already seeing his medicals as a negative thing when he goes out there and gets hurt. I mean, and also at 28, 29, no one's going to pay him 20. I mean, if teams are having hesitant now, are they going to pay him a year older, that 22 or reset in the market? I mean, it just feels like it's a lot. I mean, I don't know. Just
oh, shoot. You didn't jump from 27 to 29. He could still go out and play and do a great job. Now, if he decide, I would advise against it. If I'm his team, you know, his camp, I would advise him sitting out for that. For the simple fact, because you do have capable guys. Let's look, we have depth at that position. Okay? Let's just be honest here. We do. All right? We got Jalen Watson, okay, and Joshua Williams. Right, and look, I looked at some of these numbers. Okay, you know, PFF, had these guys rated in a lot of different ways, and when I'm going through here on the rankings of cornerbacks, okay, and I'm just looking at teams, look at them. This is PFF rankings. you know, Joshua Wynn was rated higher than Lajarius Sneed. Now, obviously, you had a smaller sample size. He didn't play as many snaps as Lajarius Sneed. But, you know, when you start looking, they didn't even have Lajarius Sneed as one of the top 10 corners in their rankings. Shoot, not even top 15. So if we're sitting over here looking at this, teams might be looking like, hey, man, look, Sneed is a good guy for you all. We don't want to overpay for a guy like this. Is he benefiting from a system, a particular system? Could be. The teams evaluate saying, well, look, we don't run man as much as Spags does. Okay. We don't demand for our corners to be what Sneed is in y'all defense. So that is something that we need to understand. So Sneed was also second best. Yeah. And sometimes, look, penalties will show up in the game. We've seen that. Okay. Maybe at most in our ill-opportune times that happen, they will show up. But I like it because he's aggressive. I like aggressive corners. All right. To me, I'd rather a guy take a chance as opposed to giving six up for a guy. Right. But also, too, don't get somebody a first down when you don't need it. If it's third and, you know, 20 and you sit over there hands him at the line of scrimmage, what are you doing? Just play defense. Right. Anyway. But I just think that sometimes teams don't necessarily value our guys like the kingdom does around the rest of the league. Okay. And sometimes we got to take our rose colored glasses off, our Kansas City glasses off, and say, hey, look, man, if I'm looking at this objectively, then we need to understand what your ranking is in the league. That's what teams are doing. They're absolutely doing this. Now, there are teams that understand the type of value he brings because he is one of the top corners to me. He is one of the top corners in the NFL because he can do it all. He could play zone. He could play man. He could go inside, outside. Okay. He has a versatility that you could put him anywhere on the field and he'll be successful. Okay. Now teams can get away from that. They see the film and the sky. The eye in the sky doesn't lie. I don't care. And I said, you know, FF, their grading system, how they do it and how they grade is the way they grade. Right. But we understand the value that Sneed has for us. Okay. We understand that. So.
Yeah. And then you also look at the him not being first team all pro. I mean, and he had an amazing season. I mean, this is a season that may not be topped as far as not allowing a touchdown during the regular season. And the fact that he wasn't even a first team all pro guy on that whole thing. And I remember when that happened, I was like, oh, that's gonna hurt him when it comes to contract negotiations in the offseason. I mean, the fact that like they can point to that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know how those conversations go, but JD, you know, they're cutthroat in those conversations.
They are. It's definitely one of those negotiating things that people use. Well, that I would like, well, shoot, how much stock do you put into the Pro Bowl, right? How much stock do you do at? Because some of these guys is getting, you know, that's getting rated into it, it's getting chosen for some of these things, may not be one of those guys. And so that's the thing about it, because I think it is a little bit stretched now. I don't mean anything as much as it used to the day. A lot of these guys might get, you know, picked out because of, you know, out of popularity, right? We've seen this before. A guy played half a season. How you get the Pro Bowl? He didn't do nothing. Well, the name got you in, right? Name got you in. But Sneed, without a doubt, you know, I think the peers recognize him. The wide receivers definitely recognize him too. They understand what he's been doing. So when he was hitting guys in the mouth and punching wide receivers, putting them on the ground, they know how good he is. They know how good he is. So what up, Philly Bird Nation?
Oh, we got an Eagles fan in here. There you go.
Love it. Love it.
JD, so the longer this goes, obviously we're fine with getting a third round compensation for Sneed. And it seems like he wants to reset the cornerback market. And that's obviously, we're not in the business of doing that. So for the fans that think we're going to give him a long-term deal, that's just not happening. If he wants to play on this tag, which it's reported that we are fine with him playing on the tag, sure, we'll come back for this year. I just don't see us tagging him next year because the tag will go up next year from what, 19 to a second year of the tag. And I don't see us doing that. Then we do that next year, and then he wants us, whatever, you know, to reset the market next year. And then what happens at that point, we just tag him, and we're kind of sunk into that whatever it is. And then we don't get anything in return for him because we're not going to tag him. We won't tag him the following year after that. So that's like, I don't know. I feel like something's got to give here. But my question is, the longer this goes, does that mean you think he'll stay on the squad, or do you think he'll maybe come down on his demands on resetting the cornerback market?
You talking about now, I mean, if he's not getting what he wants, okay, and it's got to be the right team for it, it's got to be the right fit. Compensation has to be right for the Chiefs. That's the only way it's going to happen. Like I said, we're just not going to give him up, okay? It's got to be able to work for him. He's got to find something that sounds good for him to go somewhere else, okay? And so that number has to be more on the side of like 24, maybe 25. 24, he's thinking, okay? So he's turning down 22. Shoot, you got to do a little bit more hired. It's got to be, and it's got to be more guaranteed money into it. So I don't know. We don't know how the numbers are working. You know, we're just hearing it was 22. So we don't know what that looks like. Okay. So, but if his incentive is ball out again, win a three-peat, hopefully the Chiefs keep you. Okay. The Chiefs keep you. But you know, this is something that they're looking at, man. This is the long game. This is, and the Chiefs don't mind playing it. Okay. They don't, but you got to give them something, and you got to give them something that's good. Third ain't going to do it this year. Okay.
Well, based on the report, it said we were fine with a third round pick. It's just that it's the Snead contract hold. But that's what's being reported by Verami and Carrington Harrison. So, I mean, I want a second round pick for him, but I mean, if
I want second round too. Yeah, look, third round pick. I somehow I know it's reports. There's a lot of reports going out. A lot of conversations. Look, the only one that really knows is the ones that's in the room.
Yeah.
And agents, so we could say it's all day. Oh yeah, we're just gonna give up third. I don't know if they was. So we'll see.
Well, it's funny you say that because Verderami tweeted that yesterday because someone commented asking him a question about it, and he Snead quote tweeted and said, I have the tweet. He said, he deleted it soon after, but Snead quote tweeted and said, on my way to work out in the lies I see. And this is a quote tweeting what Verami said as saying, those are accurate details to my knowledge. So man,
I'm trying to tell you, man, there's a lot of things out here. There's a lot of reports. So, you know, we don't know who's talking. Yeah, you know, shoot. Who knows talking?
I know, especially this week with all the Schefter saying there was no deal. The Chiefs and Colts never talked. They report the next day saying the Chiefs and Colts have been talking. Diane Rossini said the Chiefs and Colts have been talking. So a lot, and the thing is, these sources and reporters are even arguing with each other, saying as far as who's getting the right source, who's getting the right news, and who's not. So it's actually funny to see the reporters argue with each other on whose source is right. I love seeing that.
Well, welcome to the off season, folks. Welcome to the off season. That's why, like, when I turned off my phone, my notifications. It was Twitter was wearing me out, and I couldn't get no rest. I wanted to do things with people. I turned my notifications off. Like, man, let it be what it is. I'm not worried. Chiefs are gonna be fine either way it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, they're gonna be fine either way it goes. Right. So.
Yeah, we're breaking news last week. I mean, Hollywood Brown's liking our tweets because, you know, we're saying get the deal done, and there was like no information at that point of us even talking to him. It was just me saying let's get it done because I'm a big Hollywood Brown fan. I was going through my tweets from 2019 JD when I was like when I was working local news. I was like tweeting like Chiefs need to trade a second and third to get Hollywood Brown, trade up in the draft again.
I was gonna put on like, hey, I'm glad we didn't do that deal.
I know. Fast forward, we're paying him 1 year, $6.5 million. I mean, hey,
yeah,
man, we played a long game there.
Yeah, no offense, but dang, God, taking a third for anybody is
it's a lot.
No, man, it's a lot.
Go for Casey forever. I'm just wondering what is actually wrong with his knee. So that's the thing. Obviously, throughout training camp, they never actually expanded on what it was. He was missing lots of practice during training camp this past year because of swelling in his knee. And apparently he missed a lot of practice throughout the entire season with that same swelling in his knee. And then there's no reports on what it is. It's just that's been what the sources are saying this offseason. Teams are kind of hesitant on him because of the knee injuries and the swelling. So that's what it is. And this guy's dishing out big money, JD. You know how it is. I mean, they're going through everything on you to try to figure out ways to not pay you as much, and for ways like, yeah, it's a bad investment. I'm not going to pay you a $4 million 4 year deal.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't know what's wrong with his knee. It could just be some maintenance, cleaning out. It could be some, you know, bone on bone here. We don't know. I have no idea. So they're gonna hold that close to their chest, right? So
yeah,
as they should.
We would, and so would Snead side too, because we want a second round pick for him, and he wants to get paid, reset that cornerback market. So both sides are gonna be holding close to their vest, and of course the other side's gonna be saying, "Hey, see, he's got a knee injury, so we'll pay you 18 a year."
Yeah. He went home and was eating mini crawfish, and the extra weight on the knee was killing him.
Maybe, yeah.
Crawfish, yeah.
Louisiana food.
Yep.
All right, so now we're going to talk about our guy, Hollywood Brown, coming to Kansas City. So last week, obviously, late last Thursday, Chiefs bring in Hollywood Brown after we reported 4 days beforehand, and there was some interest there based on him liking our tweet. But over the past year, we've talked about getting wide receiver who can take the top off the defense, also take away some so Kelce doesn't have to do everything for our offense. But we were the ones that kind of started this Hollywood Brown rumor last week, and then boom, it happens over 3 days later. But this past week, he echoed some of the things that we had talked about on our show last week about finally being able to showcase what he can do. And during his press conference this week, he said, quote, "I feel like I can affect all three levels of the game, short, intermediate, and deep. I feel like at times in Baltimore and in Arizona, I showed facets of things that I could do, but not on a consistent basis. So I feel here, guys are interchangeable. We can complement each other, and that way, the best can come out for everyone." He went on to say he thought the Chiefs were going to draft him in 2019, and then the Chiefs went after him hard this offseason. So definitely got our guy. If that fact that we've been hard on him all offseason. Cool thing is, day after this thing's announced, he's in the shop with Mahomes right off the bat, working with Bobby Strapp. And then today, we see Rashee Rice, we see Mahomes, we see Hollywood Brown doing their thing. Rashee Rice rocking the dad bod shirt of Mahomes. That was hilarious. But they're already working with each other. I mean, you get Kelce in there, that's the greatest show on turf 2.4, JD. But the best part of this whole Hollywood Brown thing, although I'm a huge fan of it and everything, is the contract. So 1 year worth about $7 million up to $11 million in incentives are as follows. He gets $500K for 5 touchdowns, $250K for 6 touchdowns, another $250K for another 7 touchdowns. Yards-wise, $500K for 500 receiving yards, another $125 for 625 receiving yards, another $125 for 750, and another $750 for 1,000 receiving yards. And he's got a playing time clause. Bottom line is, to talk about what we talked about in the beginning of the show, about what he's gone through, the adversity he's faced in his life, and then to sign a deal that's worth up to $11 million, it seems like he's fully betting on himself this year, and he fully is buying into what Pat can do for him. And it seems like the Chiefs are doing that right back with him, kind of being our target receiver for this offseason. So, JD, what do you think about this Hollywood Brown move? And do you think the Chiefs can unlock him as kind of what he alluded to in his opening presser?
So I'm happy with the signing, of course. He was one of the two guys that I absolutely wanted, had talked about. Other guy, obviously, being Curtis Samuels, what I thought was kind of fit into this offense. But Hollywood Brown has the speed to take the top off the defense, no doubt about it. We've seen it in Baltimore. We've seen it some in Arizona. He can do the intermediate routes, of course, as well, getting in and out of break. I think James Jones was just talking about him working with him, said he's a hell of a receiver, said he can run anything, run any route, and we've seen that too. And the short routes is pretty easy. He was doing that, obviously, and then some of the things that you've shown in Oklahoma, some of the short routes that he's able to do. Short routes are easy. Everybody should be able to do short routes, okay? All right. So the thing is, with the creativity, what Andy has, okay, in his bag, and being able to get guys open, and maybe the system that he runs, I do believe that we would utilize him a lot differently than he was used out in Arizona and in Baltimore. What that will turn out to be, not quite sure. And the reason I say that is because we have two guys that we know is going to get a whole lot of footballs thrown his way. The lion's share of it is one, Rashee Rice, and number two, Travis Kelce. And so how he works into this whole offensive scheme, I do believe that Andy's going to be like, okay, look, let's be a little creative with him, all right? I don't necessarily see him running some of the like the reverses, jet sweeps. He may do some more of that, but more so anything else, I think he'll stretch it vertically is what we want to be able to see, right? And horizontally as well, because he can do that too. But with Andy having another high-powered machine at his disposal, man, it's going to be looking good. So we missed last year, right? So we missed last year. So I'm very excited about that. And so what does that mean? How many balls does that mean? We're looking at 70, 80 balls. That's what I was saying, Marcus, 70, 80 balls. We know he can catch a football. And he can make guys miss. He can make guys miss. So we'll start to look, seeing more of the offense of old, what we used to be, kind of, right? With the Tyreek Hill. And we'll start seeing a little bit more of that, okay? Because now we have a one and our two. We have a one and our two, okay? With Rashid Rice and Marquise Brown. So I love what you said, Brown Rice. How you want to look at it? Brown Rice, okay? It's got, I love it. I love it. But make no mistake about it. We're threatening defenses, okay? We're going to be threatening defenses. So things that you did before trying to stop Kansas City wasn't going to work. So we start seeing teams these past couple of years drop seven, maybe even drop eight, and, you know, in coverage, okay? Bring three. And the thing is, because we have Pacheco running the football, we know Patrick could do really well running the ball with his legs too. He'll hit you over the head. But now we have this other weapon that can get behind the defense. We have that guy. So I think he may hit all incentives, at least most of them, at least 75% of the incentives, without a doubt. The rest will remain to be seen, right? And it depends on how you get looked at in this offense, right? That's how it works, how much work you're going to get. But this is a great signing. I love every bit of it. I love that he's going down right now, jumping on this whole thing with Patrick Mahomes at this moment with his trainer and whatnot. These guys are building something special right now. And you got to do this at this moment, because when you, as much work as you do, you put in during the offseason, will pay dividends when the season comes in. Okay. You don't have to worry about getting on the same page and all where the guys is at. I think he said, Hollywood Brown said that he works out in Texas anyway, right?
Right down the street from Bobby.
And so, yeah. So Rashid Rice is down there in Texas too. So these guys all went down there.
We got a type.
Look, man. Look. So that tells me he's already bought in. He was ready to buy in as before he got here. He was ready. Chiefs were pursuing him. That's a wonderful thing for us to see. Yeah, look, Patrick got to call guys up. Hey, can you get here this week? And all that. And, oh man, I'm doing a photo shoot. Now we ain't got time for that. Patrick ain't time for that. Look, you can do what you want, right? Ain't nobody wrong doing photo shoots to make money off the. Look, I'm all for it. But just know when you're doing these photo shoots or somebody else, these guys out here working. They're working, okay. And any corner who's sitting over here and wants to go and enjoy vacation, please do. These guys are putting the work in, man. They looking to torch your tail this season. So be ready for it, okay? Chiefs are serious, and I love this. I mean, it's just showing everybody, look, you better be ready. You know, I talked about this, and if you hadn't been on the show, I talked about, you know, a cornerback, when you know you're going into a game and the wide receiver is keeping you up at night, you come out of a cold sweat like, oh, I got to cover this guy. That's what you're going to see. It's going to be a whole lot of nightmares coming into the season this year. So I'm all for it, man. I love it. I love it.
The crazy thing is him saying that, and he's been retweeting a lot of our stuff, Hollywood Brown has. I feel like he's been – like he's utilizing a lot of what we said in our tweets and in our show, and he's using it in his sound bites, saying like, he wasn't utilized properly, and like he thinks he could be utilized even more so in this offense here. And it's like, okay, because if you think about it, what Lincoln Riley, what he did in college, and a lot of air raid elements that he comes from Mike Leach, a lot of air raid elements that. What did Andy do when he got Mahomes? He tried to mix his West Coast offense with elements of the air raid offense. And I mean, this is a guy, and the thing I love too, you bring up the Tyreek Hill aspect of it. I'm not saying he's Tyreek Hill, but I'm saying in 2019 when there was potential there. Everyone thought we were going to cut Tyreek Hill after, you know, the stuff that came out, and obviously they found out that it was false. But when that was going to happen, we were like, oh, okay, we're interested in him. We might trade up for him. because they wanted to fill that role with another guy who they think can be capable of doing some of the Tyreek Hill type stuff. And that's another thing. But when you mentioned here having Rice, having Kelce, and having Hollywood Brown, that's another guy, obviously sophomore year for Rashee Rice, another year of growth for him. And that's another guy having Hollywood there that defenses can't snooze on. They can't, and I'm not knocking Justin Watson, but there's tears to this. Hollywood Brown can instill fear in the secondaries. Justin Watson's not instilling fear. MVS wasn't instilling fear. Kadarius Toney, by the end of the season, these guys weren't instilling fear into the defenses. Now you have a guy, Hollywood Brown, who will do that. Whether he's going to catch a bomb every game, I don't know about that, but he's going to put you on. He's going to keep you on your heels all game long, and that's an element we didn't have for the last few years.
Well, we're going to throw a bomb every game. I guarantee that now.
I hope so.
You know, with him, because he can go up there and get it. You know, he can make over the shoulder catches. He has great hands. I know they put out a video of him dropping balls, but guess what? You gonna drop balls in the NFL. Wide receivers gonna drop balls. That's what happens. See, I mean, shoot. Is not gonna be perfect. They're not gonna be perfect. But I trust his hands. I trust his hands a whole lot. So with his speed, he'll get a couple of deep balls a game, and he should. Okay. And he should. But you know, kind of like what you were just saying. If we do have like the offense where we do, like you said, the Tyreek Hill, be able to go catch footballs, get a little bit deep, do some things, get open, and he has all those things. And I would say because of the system, because we know he didn't get utilized, that's the reason he left Baltimore, right? That's why he asked for your release or a trade or whatever it was. He was like, hey, man, I'm not being utilized, okay? Some people could look at that as selfish, right? And to be honest with you, you get disgruntled as a player. And this is like some of this, what I'm talking about when you first get into the NFL. Because you want to be the guy, you want to be the man, you want all the balls thrown your way, okay? And when you see that things are not necessarily happening the way that you want them to, then there's frustration. So, yeah, there might be a little bit of some selfishness there, right? Because you know what you can do, right? And you're like, hey, man, look, you get the ball to me, we're going to win more games, okay? We're going to win more games. I think that year, I think they might have came out like 8-9, you know, with Baltimore, right? So even though he caught a whole lot of balls at 1,000 yards and Mark Andrews is up there too, made the All-Pro, Pro Bowl, he was like, man, maybe some things need to change. I don't know what this offense is looking like. You know, is just us two? Is anybody else in this mix? So now we know we got a tight end better than Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce. Okay. You got a complimentary piece that's there with Rashee Rice. Okay. Which gets you open even more one on ones. Okay. That they can't just cover these two and that's it. Right. You ain't going to be able to just double Travis Kelce. You're not going to be able to do it. Teams came into the game doubling Travis Kelce, tripling Travis Kelce. This guy can't beat us. Well, it's different now. You got Rashee Rice, you got Hollywood Brown. Two totally different things. Two totally different things. And so now we talked about getting Irv Smith in, working 12 and 13 personnel, which changes things. So we don't know what, you know, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, those guys could be a complimentary piece in the room with them, right? And it's going to be a competition because I'll tell you what, one thing does, competition brings the best out of people. It does. If it doesn't, then you're just going to get cut. Bye-bye, see you later. That's going to be it, okay? So you either sink or swim with this competition, okay? You just actually got one of the better receivers in the room. Now the guys that's there in the room that's left over, what are you going to do? Look, and I know you said Justin Watson tell you Hollywood Brown's better than him, okay? He will. Nothing wrong with that. Look, sometimes you just got to know your limitations, okay? There's things that Hollywood Brown can do that Justin Watson just can't. So everybody's taking a back seat, but this is competition. You want some reps in here? These guys you're going to beat out. So everybody's game's going to elevate. It's going to have to. If not, see you later. We're going to sit you on the side of this bench, okay? Come catch you some of this pine is what you do, right? So, but then, like you was talking about what you do to the defense, man, this is opposing defenses, they're going to be shaking in their boots. They're going to be shaking in the boots. And we're going to get a receiver in the draft. Come on.
Yeah, the one-year deal indicates two things. One, there's a chance that they could pull a Drew Tranquil with him. I mean, he seems pretty excited to be in Kansas City. And then two, it's a one-year deal, so we're going to be drafting another receiver, whether it's round one or early within the first three rounds of the draft, which I think you and I are in agreement on. Mm-hmm. So I think the one-year deal definitely lends a hand to that. JD, I got a question here about opposing defenses.
I love this. Okay. Okay, will the cover two shell defense that teams are scheming against our offense when Tyreek was here affect our offensive schemes with Hollywood potentially playing that role? So the difference is I think that Hollywood Brown is a more refined wide receiver than Tyreek. Okay. Tyreek has natural ability that he can do a whole lot of different things. And the reason I say that is I say Marquise Brown, because he had been playing wide receiver his entire time, he has better hands. Like he has, it's like catch points, okay, how balls are coming out. Where sometimes you can see Tyreek not necessarily catching balls with his hands, which is fine. I mean, you catch the ball, you need to catch the ball. But Tyreek might go jump with his body to catch a football that gives the ability for the defense to come in and catch, hit him or get open. The good thing about Tyreek is he's so fast, he gets 2 or 3 yards open on guys, and then he has to wait for the ball to get there and open. Holly Brown could come out to break and catch the ball right there, and on the without missing a beat. And I think at that point with the two shell coverage, Hollywood Brown can run those routes that can get open on two shell. Okay, like the deep digs. Okay, this is what you're kind of looking for, the hooks and the curls that you're looking for, comebacks on the outside, or that nine route. You think that deep two shell, the teams are just pushing back and try to cover deep. Well, you can open up the middle, not just with one guy, but also with two. Now you got Rashee Rice. Now you got Travis Kelce. You can find holes in that. So if you're dropping everybody back, guess what? We can run underneath. We can run in those seam areas. All those things are going to be open for us, okay? And then if we need to get deep, we can do that too. So that's why I say that the cover two shell, when you run those things, Tyreek was just – they were just trying to cover Tyreek from just going deep. Just don't let him beat you deep. That was the thing. They just couldn't keep up with Tyreek. They had to open up and just run right now to get beat. But Hollywood Brown is the more refined wide receiver that he can find those windows to get open and that awareness to catch the footballs. And guess what? We have the quarterback that can make those throws. We have it. We don't have to send three guys out. We can send five guys out or four guys out, okay, to get that open. So I guess that's my question, right, or the answer to that question on the two shell. How do you play that? So
yeah, I like that. Our guy Scott, appreciate for the contribution, brother. I really appreciate that, man. But Scott's got a comment here, JD. His hot take: Hollywood is crossed between Dante Hall and Tyreek Hill. What do you think about that? I think he's more of a polished receiver than both those guys. Both those guys weren't receiver coming out.
Yeah. No, they weren't receiver guys coming out. They catching the ball with their hands, and that's where we find like better hands. I think, like I said, catch points. D. Hall and Tyreek, man. I mean, their stop and start is that's hard to mimic. I mean, I Dante and Tyreek are two guys that can make somebody miss in a phone booth, like just in that area. That's very hard for guys to do. So that's a hard comparison. I wouldn't say Marquise has some quickness to do those things, but D. Hall and Tyreek's on a whole different level, like elite on doing those things, like making guys miss like in that area. And it's been phenomenal just to be able to watch. So those are two rare birds. Not saying that Marquise can't make guys miss because he can't. And we've seen that happen before. But we talking D. Hall and Tyreek is that's
different level.
that's different animals right there. Different animals.
There's tears to it.
But I do like what you're saying though. I like.
Yeah, I get the point. A fast twitch guy that we haven't had since Tyreek. There was misinformation here I wanted to just do clear up here. So Outback Chiefs needs the same agents as Chris Jones. That is not true. Chris Jones is represented by the Cats Group, the Cats Brothers, and LeJarius Sneed is represented by the STL Sports Group. So that's incorrect there, Outback Chief. So just wanted to clear that up with you, brother.
Well, so I'll address this also too. So go back to that. There's a difference between Chris Jones and LeJarius Sneed. Chris Jones was clearly one of the best defensive line to play in the NFL. You know, synonymous was probably one of the best in the game. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, first ballot, without a doubt. So we knew it was Aaron Donald and Chris Jones. These two guys changed the game. There was no replacing the Chris Jones. You're just not going to get that productivity. We didn't have nobody on that, you know, in the building, let alone in the NFL is going to be able to give the production like a Chris Jones. The only other guy who's going to be able to do that just retired last week. Okay? That's who he's going to be able to get for Chris Jones. Jerry Sneed is a very talented corner, no doubt about it. Because of his knee and all these different things that agents use and teams use, is he going to reset the market? We don't know. I don't know if the teams are willing to do that. Okay. And I think it's the reason why it's been so hard to this whole negotiations, because the Chiefs know what we got, but teams are like, okay, well, shoot, we might go a different route. They know he's valuable. They want to give him something, but the Chiefs got to meet somewhere. Like I said, we ain't just going to give him up. It's got to be something. No. There you go. I like it. The easiest said right there. Chris Jones is a must. Need is a want. I like that, Donna. Thank you. That's my words down.
No. Yeah, you're good. You're good. So bottom line is, Chris Jones, obviously he's the guy, hence why he's paid a lot like that. And Sneed, yeah, it's more of a luxury that I don't think we're at liberty to pay, at least Veach isn't right now. At least on the tag. But talk about Chris Jones. We're going to get into our guy. Well, it's Chris Jones, but and his entire group. So JD, since our last show, I think before that, we had just re-signed Pinnell and Tershawn Wharton. Since then, we brought back Derek Nnadi. So Chiefs have dedicated pretty much most of this free agency period to retaining our own players. Since we last met, we brought back Derek Nnadi. And some fans are scared that the re-signing of Nnadi, Pinnell, and Wharton means that the Chiefs won't make any more changes to the DT rotation next to Chris Jones, which is something I'm starting to fear as well. JD, do you feel that they are running it back with the same DT rotation? And why would that be a mistake?
Okay. Pardon me, Marcus. Why would it be a mistake? All right. Okay. I like that we re-signed these guys. Okay. All right. I'll say that first. These guys came in. They did a very good job. Was very capable to come in and play. I've said this in the past few years, is that we needed somebody more complimentary to Chris Jones when he goes out to give you a little bit of what he gives you. Okay. And the reason I say that is, if you look at productivity, and the same thing, I went to PFF and to see how you rated these guys that played right beside Chris Jones, and you see that the rate is not that high. All right, this is not my grading, this is PFF. I'm just using this, my evaluation as a player and as a coach, all right? And so when I see sometimes that we may lag a little bit, maybe against our run defense, which affects our linebackers, because Nick Bolton wasn't rated that high. Well, part of it might be, you know, maybe up front we weren't doing a good job, you know, stopping some of the rushing that we were getting up the middle, okay? That's where you can attack us. When you're getting double-teaming Chris, The guy that's playing beside him has to do an incredible job. He's got to be a monster. He's got to be a monster. And where these guys played in spurts, some of that show flashes of it. I need a more consistent guy. Okay. Also, too, maybe one of these young guys we might get in the draft. I hope we'll address this in the draft, because these deals weren't long term deals either. So we're looking for a long term answer. If Chris is going to be here for the next 5 years, we know right now that we had to have a young guy that's going to come in and be an absolute beast, okay, that's going to help out. And so if you're missing somebody like Charles Menehu, who's going to be out a few games, who was able to come in and take some of those at defensive tackle, which he did a good job. He was able to get some push. Crazy, crazy talent doing that. And I loved it. I loved it so much. We need to get another guy in here too, okay? It's going to be able to compete, because we do need that complementary piece. All right. I've said this is about getting better, right? It's not about remaining the same. It's about getting better. Okay. And I do think that play in the inside interior line, defensive line, We need to get better at that position, okay? Other than just Chris Jones, all right? This is my opinion. This is JD's opinion, okay? But this is also other people's opinion, too, that watch the game, all right? And not say anything bad about these guys other than, yo, they've given us something, right? So my thing is these guys are going to compete. Well, shoot, they're going to compete against somebody who's coming in to try to take their jobs, take their snaps. So I do believe the defensive tackle group needs to get better. Right there, a 90 play has declined. I'd rather win in a different direction. Love signing Pinnell, though. I like Pinnell, too. I think he did well. He came on the end of the season because we signed him at the end. It took some time to get him, you know, get him acclimated, getting in. Dickerson, I thought, was going to be a guy when he first came in and he showed flashes, but then all of a sudden it just tailed off. I'm just like, man, come on. We need to see some more, you know, more up front. And I was almost demanding that week after week after week. And then Derek Nandy would show up, do a couple things. So I was like, bravo, that's what you need to do. But it needs to be more consistent. Need consistency there. And so when Chris goes out, everybody like, man, I take the mantle. Somebody got to raise their hand like, man, I'm a guy. I'm going to be that guy. Now it's time for me to go be out and wreck the shop up. Okay? So if offenses are looking, when Chris Jones are out, they're going to run the ball directly where he was. That's what they were doing. I seen this, Marcus. I started watching what offenses were doing against us. I was watching it. And they was like, look, Chris is in. If he's in the game, we're going to run away from him. If he's out of game, we're going to run straight to him where he was at. Okay? Why not take advantage of it? This is the scouting report. That's what they're going to – that's the scouting report that's going to be happening. That's what's going to be said. All right? It is what it is. It is what it is, man. You know? So my thing is I think we need to definitely address this in the draft. I do. And I think it needs to be one of the top – four picks that we make, if not three. So
I'm with you. I think 2 years in a row of deep in the playoffs or deep for a playoff push. 2 years ago, we went and got Brandon Williams. That was towards the end of the season. And yeah. Then this past year, we bring back Mike Pinnell. Yeah, Pinnell was already a part of the system and stuff, but we brought him back. I don't want to keep – and also all one-year deals. And then Omenihu, forget the fact that he's going to miss half the season. It was only a two-year deal. So this is his last year – coming up here with 2 year, 14 million, whatever it was. This is his last season. So that DT room, and he's a DTDN, but that DT room for the most part, outside of Chris Jones, are all 1 year deals. And I think it's just high time we finally do that. We finally bring in a D tackle. All 1 year guys, and you know, and I do like the Pinnell signing. I like the way we're bringing him. I like the depth, but it's just not enough.
Depth is one thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Depth is one thing. Talent, okay, efficiency, effectiveness is another, right? And I said this is all about getting better. You want to be able to address getting better, okay? And the same thing with Mike Edwards being gone. Jamari Thomas is there. We see, okay, there's somebody that's there, right, can replace it. Gay is gone. Well, guess what? We had Drew, Tranquil was able to, you know, come in and replace those things. So there was a replace guys with guys that was capable to do what they were able to do, who was out there on the field, right? You know, Cook is going back as far as safety. Defensive tackle, we can't keep wearing Chris out. If you want to get your money's worth for Chris for the 5 years, paying him $33 million or whatever, however much he's making, $40 or $50 million, whatever he's making, okay? Making a lot of money. Keep him fresh. And the only way you can be able to keep him fresh is make sure he's not just getting double teamed by everybody. Don't do it. Have somebody come in and take some of those hits off of him, right? He's getting paid a whole lot of money to do double teams and stuff, but you make sure that the guy that's next to him is wrecking shop. So that way you make him pay for the double team, because you have a guy that's one-on-one, he's the guy that's killing you, okay? Let me just be playing with it. Just going to be playing. So let's not wear out Chris Jones. Let's not wear out our linebackers. I don't want to see no more guys getting pushed back 5 yards off the line of scrimmage, because to me that's just crazy, all right? I hate seeing it. I guarantee when they watch it in the films, that's unacceptable. I'm sorry. It's unacceptable in NFL, period, point blank. right? So them guys will tell you that too. Them guys will tell you that too. So
yeah, Jerome, I think Turk has improved and has more attack mode with Cullen. Yeah, I will say Turk Wharton, all right. I think this point, JD, I think I'm more willing to give Turk McBride a second chance in Kansas City.
Look, not saying the guy didn't get better. Not saying the guy didn't get better. I'm talking about a plug and play guy immediately right now. That when he's jumping off the screen to you, all right. We need somebody almost synonymous with Chris Jones to say, "Oh man, is it Chris? Hey, Chris, who is that?" That's the guy we need. That's the guy that we need. So,
yeah, and there's plenty of guys in this draft. The one guy I'm excited about, what we talked about before, and I did a mock draft the other day, was Chris Jenkins Jr. I would love to have him right next to Chris Jones. Mm. You're talking about a young guy who has the DNA to know what it is to be a D tackle in the league at a high level.
I mean, come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think we address the D line in our first three picks. I think we have to. I do. I think it has to be that important for us. Okay? Because it gets us better. It gets our defense better. We talk about defenses win championships. Get this guy. And if we decide to keep Snead and, you know, go ahead and get the 19, let him sign, our defense is going to be that much better. Now you're sitting over there, you got the run defense that you need. Now you got the type of, you know, pressures that you need getting at the quarterback. A stellar D line will kill everything, okay? And you're going to be missing a minute who? Come on, man. So, Artis Chief, what's going on, man? What's happening with you?
There's the man of the hour.
Corey. What's going on, brother? So yeah. Scott, man, I'm passionate, man, because I'm a coach and I'm a player. And when I see things that on screen, I can't not see them. All right. I can't just think, these things, it's gonna be all right. No, you gotta address it. You gotta address these things. Okay. Wide receiver, D tackle, O tackle, first three picks. I agree with you. Right there with you. Exactly.
How would you do it in that order? How would you prioritize just BPA at that position per each pick? So whoever's rated higher on their board from receiver, DT, OT in that first four pick.
Well, I'll say this. Oh man, I'll tell you what. If you got an offensive tackle and you're not happy with Wanye, and I think it's maybe some questions there. Okay, from the Chiefs, I think it's where they are. They may go offensive tackle if a guy's there. Okay, if a guy's there. I like the first five guys. It was like the five guys from last year. If you look at them, they didn't do well. Those guys did a good job. Shoot, dude, what's the name? Scorpion went down to Tennessee. Shoot, he playing guard. So, but there's some different guys this year at tackle. You can go probably wide receiver second round because there's a whole lot of them. There's a bevy of great wide receivers out there. One of my favorites. I got my favorite. Marcus got his favorite, you know. And then get a D-line, I think, maybe the third pick. I do believe you could probably get a guy third pick that's going to be able to come in and wreck shop. That's why I look at it. So it changes for me, wide receiver, when you go in the third round. It changes a little bit for me, okay, because – if we're thinking Hollywood Brown for 1 year, we don't know what that's going to look like. If he goes somewhere on the market, gets another thing. We're looking for a guy to be here for another, you know, 4 years, five, if we'll. So that's how I look at it, right? Build around what you got. We got Rashid Rice. You're going to have him get another wide receiver that's going to be here for a long time. So they could be the dynamic duo or trio if it's Hollywood Brown. So.
Yeah, man, I'm not hoping the Drew Tranquil kind of vibe kind of continues with guys who play an improvement year deal and then they like it so much they want to stay. And based on everything he's saying so far, it sounds like we might be headed in that direction, but hopefully the season works out for him and he gets hits all his marks.
Reality is, man, Marcus, we can't pay everybody. Can't. There's going to be some names next year that we won't have to let walk because we just can't pay everybody.
That's true. You know? Well, so. And that's where it comes in where it's like, okay, what if they go the offensive guard? Because I've seen some mock drafts, people saying go offensive guard and say, because Trey Smith's free agent next year, and then you got Tooney, who's making a lot, and I don't know if he comes off the book next year or 2 years from now. But I mean, there you go. That's position right there. You don't have to pay out of the pocket. You have your rookie contracts with the offensive guard positions.
Joe Tooney's one of the top rated guards in the league.
Yeah, well, that's why you replace Smith then, and you keep him in.
I know we're talking ahead, but we, you know, sure. Yeah. And then you can still do restructures and what. You just don't know. That's a lot. That's a lot there. So
I know a lot. Okay, so we're gonna go to our final topic here. This is one that I'm just curious because we talked about the stadium updates, and the NFLPA's grading, and more stuff's going on, and more drama regarding Chiefs stadium stuff. So Kansas City could be on the move, according to President Mark Donovan. So obviously we talked about the franchise wants to facilitate the $800 million in upgrades to Arrowhead Stadium, which would help the Hunt family that owns the team and help the citizens and the people who go to these games. So essentially what the fight is right now, taxpayers could cover the other $500 million because apparently the Hunts will kick in $300 million to that. So the taxpayers would be picking up the other $500 million. The Chiefs hope the voters will okay a 40-year extension of a 3/8 cent sales tax in Jackson County, one that costs residents a 38 cents per every $100 they spend in the county. Chiefs President Mark Donovan told the city's NBC affiliate last week that if voters didn't extend the tax, the Chiefs would, quote, "We'll just have to look at all of our options." A reporter asked if that meant leaving the Kansas City team that has always called home Kansas City. Donovan said, "I think they would have to include leaving Kansas City as a part of an option there." He then said team would be willing to accept a deal to stick around its home city. So, JD, what are your thoughts on this whole deal, leaving Kansas City? Because that part to me kind of scares me a little bit, but I also know the D.C. area, which the D.C. team is in Maryland. So,
listen, this is going to be short and sweet, okay? Short and sweet. Kansas City Chiefs are not leaving Kansas City. They're not. Mark Donovan, he's supposed to say these things, right? All options are open, whatever, but they'll work this thing out. It always gets worked out. It always gets worked out. For the simple fact, Lamar wouldn't want something like that happening. Clark don't let those things happen. And so I can never see Kansas City, the Chiefs leaving Kansas City. You know, I know this is part of like just business talk, and we got to leave all options because you can't say be definitive on anything. Well, we leave all options open, right? You know, we don't know what that means, and it's like open ended, like okay, you know, ambiguity. What do you mean you might leave it at Kansas City? It ain't going nowhere. No, it just wouldn't make any sense. Wouldn't make any sense to do something like that. These things will get worked out. This is a whole different thing from, you know, fans and whatnot. And now did you get into, you know, the building structure and, you know, you're talking about, you know, the local government on doing things and municipalities, they'll get worked out. Hey, look, a few dinners, a couple of handshakes, politicians, everything's going to be a-okay. It's going to be all right. So this to me is, you know, it's just kind of talk. Fans and don't worry yourself over any of this, man. They'll work these things out.
I will say, going from
politics talk, yeah, that's what it is.
That's solid. True. Yeah,
yeah.
But I will say, being in the DC area my entire life, that you know they haven't played in DC since what, like the mid '90s with RFK, where it was like '95. Mm-hmm. And so they play at FedEx Field, which is one of the worst stadiums in the league. That's in Landover, Maryland, which is like a 45-minute like drive from DC. So there's other teams who do play in other cities that are deemed another city. So like I hope Kansas City doesn't become one of those though, because I mean that every day there's a new argument from Virginia, Maryland, and DC of trying to win over that bring the Redskins the Commanders back to that area. So I just hope that doesn't happen in Kansas City.
Well, if you ever been to RFK, you know where that is and whatnot. I can see,
yep.
it caught a whole lot of people off, like, man, where are we at? You know,
different. The DC Defenders and DC United play like right down the street from RFK.
Oh, do they?
The Audi Stadium, it's like right down the street from it.
Oh, awesome. Okay, good, good.
It's. they're cleaning up a little bit. They're starting to make their way to kind of like clean it up a little bit. But yeah,
beautiful, beautiful. Yeah,
It's historic.
I, you know, when I was playing in Philly, we used to get on the train, come down to play the West Camp. Really? Yeah, we get on the train, and then bust it over, and so we start driving through. I'm like, where are we at? He started looking out the window. He was like, what's going on? No, he said nothing wrong about D.C. Yeah, I love the city. I love it. D.C. is a good city to me. I love it. But Kansas City, man, I don't think this is a nothing burger right here. They'll get these things worked out. Like I said, a couple of dinners, a couple of good glad hands working these things. The fans, they'll listen to the fans. The fans have a very, very loud voice, okay? And I'm going to let y'all know that Clark and the Hunt family listens to this. They do. They listen to everything. And so I think they understand that, where everybody wants to be. Just the history that you have there. But, shoot, I think this is something that nobody has to worry about right now. They don't.
Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah.
A little bit of scare tactics on both sides. You got one side saying all options are on the table, maybe even leaving Kansas City. And the other side saying, wait, we're going to pay more. We're not paying 38 cents for every $100. No, we're not doing that. So
it's all negotiations. It's negotiate whatever, right? And so we'll see this. We'll see this happening as well. Just part of that. Like Ginger said, it's politics.
Yeah.
Politics talk. So, the suits will handle all of that. They'll handle it. Yeah. Yeah, they don't know. Yeah, a lot of people don't know. They don't, but.
Yeah, well, Lance, our friend from Lance's the Spoken Podcast, he said, I'll see you, we'll see the Chiefs in Kansas in 5 years.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I thought, when I saw that today, I was like, whoa, what's going on here? So I had to be a topic on the show with Kansas City Chiefs leaving Kansas City.
Well, okay, so here I don't see, when you're talking about projecting putting $800 million into a stadium and then you're thinking about moving in 5 years, like why invest that much money into doing something now? You might as well just bring ground and say, well, look, we're not going to do any of those things. We're going to change nothing up. And let's just go ahead and build a new stadium and be done in like 2 years, okay? Yeah. We're going to break new ground if that's going to be the case. But I don't think it's the case, man. They're throwing, their own money in it, also too. So it just makes more sense. And I can't wait to see how this thing looks. I think 2026, everything's projected to be done, be finished, I think.
Is that the time period?
I think time period, yeah, for everything to be done, like this whole new facility. I watched all of it, man. It looks beautiful. How they're going to have it done. Election is April 2nd for the tax. Oh, there you
go. Oof, here we go.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
2 weeks. Tough. 2 weeks for that. That's why no wonder why all this stuff's coming out like 2 weeks beforehand.
Yeah,
get it.
Slide it in. Here we go. Let's throw this in as one of the issues and topics. Right? Hey, do you vote on this? And be okay. I see. Right. So
you think of the other day, Kansas City Chiefs will be staying in Kansas City, in Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah,
GHA Stadium.
I do. Yeah, GHA Stadium. Yes, I do. I do.
All right, so everybody can calm your nerves a little bit. There's a lot of people online pissed off both sides of the issue. Chiefs leaving and then also paying 38 cents for every $100 too. So that's just the internet for you. Everyone's mad about everything.
Right.
I had a tweet earlier. This is talking about the internet being mad. I tweeted earlier saying Brandon Rice caught the bomb that Caleb Williams caught during their pro day today. I was like, oh, bring me Rice. And someone's like, you do realize he wasn't going against anybody. He was just going against air. That wasn't a hard catch to make. Like, okay, dude. Like, what? Oh, gosh.
Well, I'm one of those. I don't get excited when I see guys. I mean, you're supposed to catch the daggone football. That's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, it's true. I'm just excited. I'm excited about Brandon Rice. I'm excited about that, bringing the Jerry Rice DNA back into the NFL. I get you.
Calm down, Mark. You won't sit out there on the field and get there. We're going to see. I'm going to see those things in the game. So we'll see. We'll get there.
Well, once he's not drafted by the Chiefs, I'm not going to care anymore what the guy's doing.
Yeah, he'd be a hell of a pick. I'd love to have him.
6'2", 20, like 208, and he can run like a 4.4. I mean, that's nice. But all right, guys. Well, it was a very lively chat tonight. Of course, everybody being in it, that we saw, I think we had like 90 something people in it at one point here tonight.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
Wonderful. Great seeing everybody.
Yeah, no doubt.
Make sure you get your brackets in. We got March Madness tipping off at noon tomorrow, so everyone get your brackets in. I for all the Kansas people, good luck to you guys against Samford. Experts think that's going to be the biggest upset of the weekend, so we'll see.
Yeah. Appreciate you, Scott. We need to tell you appreciate it, but everybody else go forever. I'm the Brown, Artist Chief, Matrix, Donna, Wendy. Appreciate y'all. All the everybody comes in, come see us. We appreciate each and every one of you all. Thank you for the chat. Thank you for the questions. It's our own little community, Chiefs Concerns community. Come in, say your piece. You can step out, dip on us anytime you want to. Come in, say what's up, shout at us, and then go. All right. But we're glad to have you. Okay. And love each and every one of you all. Thank you so much. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Love everybody. I hope everybody has a good weekend, and we'll see you guys Monday. JD, right. Love you, brother.
Love you too, Marcus. We'll see y'all. Y'all be see good.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.